Well, Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this somewhat rainy Sabbath day here in the Pacific Coast. And praise God for the privilege of being able to come together to dig into His Word, to have His presence among us and His blessings to grace our hearts. And what a joy it is to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And not have to do it alone. We have others of the same mind coming together in one place. So praise God indeed. Before we get into our study book of Desire of Ages, it's time for opening prayer. And our dear sister Dominique will offer that for us.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the platform for all of us to get together on your blessed Sabbath day and worship. I pray that we all receive the message and remember the message and spread it to others that are in need. Lord, thank you for all of your blessings and your provisions that you've provided for us. Please keep us safe, guide us, and protect us. Please forgive us for any sins and deeds and act that goes against thee. This is my prayer in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. And a thank you, dear sister. We're in chapter 41 of Desire of Ages, titled The Crisis in Galilee. And we're about two-thirds of the way down on page 388 to the paragraph, "But even these figures," or these symbols. And we left off last time talking about the group of people that were surrounding Christ there on the other side of the lake, and they were questioning how he got there and when he got there. And Christ told them that they were not interested in the truth he had to share. They were only interested in the food, literal food, that he was providing them, and that their thoughts needed to be away from the temporal and on to the spiritual. And they still didn't quite comprehend his words. And so he brought out to them that in order to have eternal life, they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And he talked about the living bread that was to come down from heaven and provide life to the inhabitants of the earth. It was just like the manna that had come down from heaven to feed the Israelites. But the people still did not understand. Some did, so praise the Lord for the some, but not all. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. And again, dear ones, if you have any thoughts, any questions, please feel free to put your mic up and ask these. And that way I won't be the only one talking here. So pick it up at this new paragraph. But even these figures, the figures of the bread and the wine, fail to present the privileges of the believer's relation to Christ. Jesus said, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. As the Son of God lived by faith in the Father, so are we to live by faith in Christ." So fully was Jesus surrendered to the will of God that the Father alone appeared in his life. Same way that we're to be. Although tempted in all points like as we are, he stood before the world untainted by the evil that surrounded him. Thus, we also are to overcome as Christ overcame. Are you a follower of Christ? Then all that is written concerning the spiritual life is written for you and may be attained through uniting yourself to Jesus. So when you read in the scriptures where God says, I have raised you up to go forth and preach my word, that's not written just for the ministers. That's not written just for your neighbors. That's not written just for those that speak well. That's written for you. So everything that's written concerning the spiritual life is like God wrote it specifically for you. And by uniting yourself to Christ, you will be able to follow what is written. God will give you the grace and the strength to achieve it. Continuing. Is your zeal languishing? Has your first love grown cold? Accept again of the proffered love of Christ. Eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, and you will become one with the Father and with the Son. So eat of that living manna, the Word of God. Drink of his blood, the water of life that he gives you to quench your thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And you will indeed regain your first love and become more zealous in living the word as well as sharing the word. Continuing. The unbelieving Jews refuse to see any except the most literal meaning in the Savior's words. Now, some of them understood the spiritual importance of what Christ was saying, but they refused to admit it. And they used the most literal meaning, the most literal construction of what Christ was saying, as a hammer to come against the Savior and to make him look stupid in the eyes of others. So the unbelieving Jews looked only at the literal meaning of the Savior's words. Continuing. By the ritual law, they were forbidden to taste blood, and they now construed Christ's language into a sacrilegious speech and disputed over it among themselves. Many, even of the disciples, said, now this wasn't the 12 disciples, this was the other disciples that were around him. Many even of the disciples said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? So we see that a lot of things that the Savior taught had a spiritual meaning behind it. And so we have to get away from just looking at the literal meaning of the words and start looking at the spiritual, the hidden understanding. So when Christ said that he was the door and only people that enter through him gain eternal life, if we looked at the literal meaning, we'd say that Christ was a door that you'd had to open and close in order to gain eternal life. But looking at the spiritual meaning, we understand that the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Accepting him as our Savior, following his word of truth, we would be entering into eternal life. But those that are fixated on the literal and overlook the spiritual meaning commented, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, these were people that accepted Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah. Continuing. The Savior answered them, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that enlivens your mind. It's the Spirit that quickens your understanding. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So Christ was very clear in telling the people that the words he was speaking to them were spiritual. They needed to look at the spiritual meaning behind his words, and then they would gain eternal life by accepting those words. Continuing. The life of Christ that gives life to the world is in his word. It was by his word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By his word he stilled the sea and raised the dead. And the people bore witness that his word was with power. He spoke the word of God, as he had spoken through all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. The whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ. Now, it didn't say just the New Testament. It said the entire Bible is a manifestation of Christ. It was through Christ that God the Father created the world. Thus, Christ is the Creator. It was Christ that walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before sin. It was Christ that visited them after sin and gave to them the sacrifices. It was Christ that visited Abraham. It was Christ that visited Moses in the burning bush and afterwards. So the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament, is a manifestation, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he was Michael, the Lord God. In the New Testament, he was born Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Psalms 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And that book was the Old Testament. Amen. Another comment said it was Christ who spoke the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. Amen. So the entire Bible is a revelation, a manifestation of Jesus Christ. Continuing. And the Savior desired to fix the faith of his followers on the Word. When his visible presence should be withdrawn, the Word must be their source of power. So there's power in the Word. That power is divine, directly from Christ. In receiving the Word of truth into your heart, you are receiving the Lord of truth, Jesus Christ, into your heart. So Christ knew that he wasn't always going to be with his disciples. He was just there for maybe another year and a half after this point. And so he desired to fix the faith of the disciples to his word, to allow the word to be in their hearts and thus come into contact directly with Jesus for the divine power to live the word. Continuing, like their master, they were to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. And the Savior desires you and me today to live by every word, not just the Old Testament like Christ had, but also the New Testament. Live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of our Father. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones?
In thinking about Christ as a child and as a young man growing up, and the fact that he sang a lot, it is singing that really sets your heart on fire. And music is a wonderful gift that God has given.
Amen. Amen. And it's when we praise God in song, when we lift our voices in singing to his glory, he comes into our midst. God dwells in the praises of his people. So if we would praise God more often, God would be in our midst more often. So we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Continuing. As our physical life is sustained by food, so our spiritual life is sustained by the word of God. And every soul is to receive life from God's word for himself, as we must eat for ourselves in order to receive nourishment, so we must receive the word for ourselves. We are not to obtain it merely through the medium of another's mind. We should carefully study the Bible, asking God for the aid of the Holy Spirit that we may understand his word. We should take one verse and concentrate the mind on the task of ascertaining the thought which God has put in that verse for us. Now, if you have a concordance of both the Hebrew and the Greek, that will help you to try and ascertain the thought which God had put in that single verse for your instruction. And what a concordance is it goes over, yeah, Strong's Concordance is one or Young's Concordance is another. I prefer Strong. But what the concordance is it goes over every Hebrew or Greek word. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. It goes over every single word that you find in a text, and it gives you the meaning of that Hebrew or Greek word. So when you take a particular text, say the text of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can look up the word for God there in the Greek, and it will tell you what all meaning is for that word. You can look up the word love, and it will show you the broad spectrum of meaning for that word of love. So instead of just using your own understanding of the word for love in John 3:16, which is limited by our experience, our knowledge, you can look at the Greek word that was used there for love, and find a whole realm of other meanings that you may have never thought of. So when we read the scriptures, we should look at each verse and concentrate on the words that are used in that verse. Even grabbing the concordance to see a greater variety of meaning for the words. Pleading for the Holy Spirit to lead us to comprehend correctly. And try to ascertain, try to determine and figure out what spiritual meaning God was putting into that verse just for your benefit. So instead of just reading the Bible for the sake of reading it, we would read the Bible for the sake of understanding it. Amen. Isaiah 28:10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So every precept, every understanding in the sentence must be placed upon every understanding in other sentences. Line upon line. A passage in the scripture dealing with strength needs to be put with other scriptures dealing with the subject of strength. And that way we begin to understand it much more clearly. I like to liken the scriptures to a puzzle, you know, a million piece puzzle, if you will. In understanding bits and pieces of God's word, we can begin to fit the puzzle together piece by piece. And in reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you get a big picture of what God is trying to convey through the Word of Life. And that's like having the picture for the puzzle, the picture on the top of the puzzle box. You see it, but all the different pieces are scattered, and you need to start piecing them together. Once you understand that Christ is manifested throughout the entire scripture, Genesis to Revelation, you can see that his image is that big picture. His mission work is all included there. And so when you understand that Christ is the big picture, then as you go through the scriptures, you're able to find different pieces here and there about Christ. Whether it's his mission, whether it's his character, whether it deals with his sacrifice or the plan of salvation, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, his second coming, it all has to deal with Christ. And that helps you to put those pieces that you learn in studying here and there in place. Amen. A comment in the room says, the pearl of great price is in the heart of the scriptures. Amen indeed. So when you read, don't try to cover so much in any given time. If you really want to learn, take each verse and study it. And if you never get past that single verse in your time of study, you haven't lost anything. In fact, you've gained more than if you were just a surface reader, someone who's just reading for the sake of reading. You have to take the time to unwrap a banana in order to gain the nourishment from inside. It's the same with God's word. You have to take the time to unwrap each verse to gain the spiritual nourishment that you need. Amen. Another comment says it's like food that you must take the time to chew. So we should take each verse and concentrate our mind on the task of ascertaining the thought that God wants us to be benefited by in that verse. Continuing. We should dwell upon the thought until it becomes our own, and we know what saith the Lord. In his promises and warnings, Jesus means me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that I, by believing in him, might not perish but have everlasting life. So every verse in the Bible was written for your benefit. It's like the entire Bible is a love letter that has your name on it from God. Read it that way. And you'll be amazed at what you discover. Continuing. The experiences related in God's word are to be my experiences. Prayer and promise, precept and warning are mine. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. As faith thus receives and assimilates the principles of truth, they become a part of the being and the motive power of the life. The word of God received into the soul molds the thoughts and enters into the development of character. So every time you understand some hidden meaning to God's word, that thought, that understanding is received into your soul and begins to mold the thoughts to that truth. It begins to change you little by little, and thus begins to form your character more after the image of Christ, the truth. But if you don't take the time to try and understand the Bible, then you're not going to be changed into his image. It's the same as individuals who know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, but they never let the Savior into their heart. The knowledge that he is the Savior has not been allowed to make him your Savior. And thus he can't benefit you. Continuing. By looking constantly to Jesus with the eye of faith, we shall be strengthened. God will make the most precious revelations to his hungering, thirsting people. So if you want to know more of the truth of the Bible, then hunger for it, thirst for it. Plead with God to open your understanding. And if you ask God, you will receive. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock And God's going to open the door of understanding to you. That's why it's so important to plead for God to send the Holy Spirit to open your understanding before you begin reading in His Word of Life. Continuing, they will find that Christ is a personal Savior. As they feed upon His Word, they find that it is Spirit and life. The Word destroys the natural, earthly nature and imparts a new life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to the soul as a comforter. So when you see something in the Word that you're not following, the Spirit is right there to prick your hearts and also to comfort you with the thought that coming closer to Christ by following the truth will bring you the peace, the strength, the grace to change and no longer be a commandment breaker. That thought of peace is a comfort. So when the Spirit pricks your heart that you're doing something wrong and convicts you that you need to change, He's just not there with a hammer to try and bang you over the head saying, look at how stupid you are. You need to change. You need to follow this truth. But He comes as a comforter, encouraging us, motivating us, urging us to follow the Savior, and then enrapturing our souls with the understanding of the peace and the happiness and the joy we will experience if we do follow the Lord. The Savior is our best friend, leading us into eternal life and away from destruction. But the Spirit is also a close friend that is there to encourage us, to take us by the hand, and to lead us upward to the Savior. Without that encouragement, most every one of us would be doomed to destruction. So the Spirit comes as a comforter to us. Continuing, by the transforming agency of His grace, the image of God is reproduced in the disciple. He becomes a new creature. Love takes the place of hatred, and the heart receives the divine similitude. This is what it means to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is eating the bread that comes down from heaven. So how many gods in the Godhead do we see here making it possible for us to become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Amen. Three gods. It's the Word of God the Father. It's the Word of Life, Jesus Christ. That's two gods. And it's the grace of the Spirit that enables us to live that Word. To receive that Word. The Word of God and the Word of Life into our hearts. So three gods, all the Godhead, are working so that you and I can be saved, that we can be transformed from death to life, from a carnal mind to a spiritual mind. And without all three gods working within us. Salvation would be impossible. So this is what it means to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. To allow the Godhead to dwell in your heart by faith.
I just want to give a quick testimony of what is being said right now. And I remember at the beginning of my walk, the Lord knows that I took it by faith. And it is true that the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And, you know, as I've said it before, I was a Sunday worshiper all my life by tradition. And when the Lord called me, I was no longer attending the Sunday churches, but was just reading the Bible myself and, you know, just learning things, but certain things did stick with me. And I thought, as a Sunday worshiper, that I knew the Bible inside out. Like, I knew the 66 books of the Bible. If you ask me, I can quote a verse and everything. But never did I understand it the way that the Lord allowed it, me to do so at the beginning of my walk. And I remember just reading the Bible again, and, you know, I had brethren that were teaching me and helping me to understand, and it was just not the same thing, not the same way. And I was hungry to know more, and even something as taking the Sabbath for what it is. I know I just know that the Sabbath was a day that the Lord had given, but I didn't know exactly what the Sabbath was. And I remember, like, you know, the sisters were trying to teach me about the Sabbath, and I was just, you know, every day that I would break the Bible, the Lord would give me something about the Sabbath, and I would keep on sharing it with people so they knew that I was having a struggle by God's grace. And they were trying to teach me, and I'm just like, I'm not understanding, but still I was taking it by faith that the Sabbath, you know, is Saturday. And I just couldn't understand what made it Saturday. What made it Saturday? And one Sabbath we were sitting at the table and they were talking to me and they were telling me and I still wasn't understanding. And they broke the Bible and they started telling me about Daniel, about the changing of times and everything. And it was almost like an angel of the Lord came down and touched me and opened up my eyes. And if you would have seen the expression on my face when it came all together, when it just all culminated, it was such an experience. It was such a joy. And me being hungry and wanting to know more, the Lord opened up to me more and more and more. And every time I went into the Bible, it was such a deep and personal experience. It was such a enlightenment. It was like, wow, I read this before, but never did I understand it this way. Oh my gosh, it was so, I'm getting the chills talking about it because it was so personal. It was such a blessing to my heart and still is. And it was such, it's such a blessing that the spirit of prophecy was introduced to me. And I was reading it one day that when we're reading and we truly want to know the word of God and we truly open our hearts to it, that angels of the Lord are around us. And when we get to something, as Elder Rob pointed out, even if we're just sticking to one verse and we cannot understand the verse, but we go into the spirit of prophecy, the angels of the Lord is right there, and it's almost like they're with you and touching you and telling you, and they open it for you. So I know I can praise the Lord and attest to this because I have experienced it so many times. And for that, I am so grateful.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you for your testimony. And it's so satisfying to understand even just one spiritual truth that you had not understood before. It is so fulfilling, so, I can't think of a better word than satisfying. I mean, the feeling that you experience is so wonderful. And like you said, you may have read that passage over and over again many times and know it from heart, from memory. But when you understand it better, it's like God has reached down and blessed you with such contentment, such happiness and joy, that you want to repeat it. You want to have that same feeling again. And that's why the scriptures were not written by just one author. Human author, I mean. The author of the Bible is Jesus Christ, but he used about 40 or so different individuals to write it, to put it into language over a period of 4,000 years. And then with the New Testament, another couple hundred years past that. Each different author can affect us in different ways. Some like the Gospel of John because it's more personal. It deals more with the love of God. Some like Matthew better because it goes into the more analytical understanding. It goes through and shows lineage. Some like Luke better because the language he used was much more intellectual than it was common, like you find in Mark. So each of the different authors of the Bible reach different-hearted individuals. And that was God's purpose. But regardless of which author it is, if we ask God in faith to help us understand, then we will indeed come away from that study time with him enlightened. And I love the feeling when that light bulb goes off in my head or that aha moment occurs in studies. It's exciting. It allows, yeah, amen, Eureka. It allows the Bible and the spirit of prophecy to be alive. And you recognize that it was written for you personally, not just words for others, words for you, words of life. But we have to take the time to study for ourselves. And it's fantastic that we can come together and learn from others the truths that they have understood. But we can't just live on their words, live on their findings. We have to experience those.
It's like a photographer taking the perfect picture. You can look at a scene, but as the light of the day changes, the scene also changes, and it becomes more beautiful as the different light plays on the structures. Same way with the scriptures, when you're reading it with the different moods of your mind and the different knowledge that comes with age.
In speaking to other people and sharing with them what God has done in my life, and trying to live so that they can see. And I've encountered, you know, when people tell me, well, I try to read the Bible, I try to do this, and I just don't understand. And I am thankful that by my experience, I can give my testimony and tell them, you know, I used to think that way too at some point in time. I used to think that you know, it's open to different interpretations, and you read it and you interpret it another way. But I said, but there's but one interpretation, and there's but one thing that we're supposed to get of it, and that's what the Lord has inspired the writers to write for us to know. And I said, if you truly want to know, I can tell you from my own testimony that the Lord will open your understanding and will allow you to understand it the way that it ought to. That will be a blessing to your life and others around you. And so many times that is my urge to people. So many times that is my, you know, if you really want to know, don't go in with a preconceived notion. Don't go and just take away everything that you thought you knew. Take away everything that you just give yourself to God and let and have a willing heart. And if you're willing, upon God's perfect timing, He will open it to you and reveal it to you. And I also, even now, walking in the Lord, like, sometimes I read things and I still don't understand it. And I go back, say, a week from now, and I read it, and then the Lord opens it to me. And everything is for its perfect timing, according to God. Everything. So I'm just grateful to be able to have that experience and to be able to share that with others as well.
Amen, dear sister. And another comment in the room, it says, it's wonderful because people always assume that some man has taught you, but when you tell them that God taught you and your life experience are a testimony of what the Lord gave you is what shocks them. Amen. I remember individuals responding in such a way to the issue of the Sabbath. Well, you just got that from the church. Or who was the individual that taught you that? And when you can show them from God's word, it's like they don't have that excuse to avoid it anymore because they see it in God's word. They can't just pass it off that it's some denominational teaching or some other teaching of mankind. It's a teaching of God's word. So praise God for His written word that we can go to and turn to and study for ourselves and not have to go and sit at the feet of some church or some minister to learn God's word. We can learn it for ourselves. And amen. A quotation in the room from Great Controversy 598. Great Controversy 598. It is the first and highest duty of every rational being to learn from the scriptures what is truth, and then to walk in the light and encourage others to follow his example. We should day by day study the Bible diligently, weighing every thought and comparing scripture with scripture. With divine help, we are to form our opinions for ourselves as we are to answer for ourselves before God. So amen. Amen. And it's true. It's here a little and there a little. God doesn't open our understanding in one sitting. He's not going to teach us everything in just one day. He will give us what we need at the time we need it to handle whatever emergencies we're going to face. But if we don't take the time each day to study from His word, then we won't have that needed understanding, that needed counsel or warning that would make us prepared to meet what's coming. And we'll have to face it without that preparedness. And we're most likely going to fall into that trap, that pit, give in to that temptation. So may we indeed take the time to study God's word for ourselves. and look at each text and each word in the text to understand more fully what God is trying to teach you and me in our studies. Amen. That's a good comment. Second-hand food is not as healthy as first-hand food. That is very true. Very true. We need to get it first-hand. Eating those fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, and not second-hand with the processed meat from others. Amen.
That statement comes with a testimony. When we were in New York, we were seven women, and believe it or not, there was a cat. It's like I noticed that everywhere we went, we always had a cat. And there were a lot of different denominations will pass through, and they will come in and try to sit with us. And the beauty about it, it didn't come really from us. It came from someone that saw us all the time coming together with the Bible. There was a police officer. His name is Thomas. I hope by God's grace that he's somewhere and where he can be able to continue on searching, because he was searching. When they walked the beat, my dear sister, she has a store. It was a beauty supplies at the time. And they will come in, but every time when they come in, the conversation always reached to something biblical. So one particular officer came in. His name was Thomas. And then the second officer came in. What's the name of the other officer? Oh, forgive me, Lord. I'll try to remember his name. Well, anytime when he used to ask us questions, we used to pray and go in the back and open our Bible, and we would start talking about the scripture and things. And then one time, someone that saw us all the time coming together and study, he said, "So who's the ministers for these this group?" And the one that actually answered, he was not a Christian. He was basically someone that he professed to be a Muslim 5%er. And he said, "No, actually, it's only seven women and a cat." So he could not believe that that was true. And one time he decided to come and sit with us. And he was so surprised to see the hunger, not only to learn, but the diligence we have to be able to sit down and open the scriptures for so many hours. But because we all knew we came so late into this message, when we found out that we was coming in with the call of the third angel's message, we realized that we didn't have that much time to be able to waste. Because when you start looking at the magnitude of the books from the Spirit of Prophecy and the Bible, which we quite didn't understand, and we know that our salvation is in the balance, and we were coming from Catholicism, we had to take everything we knew and go back and try to find out where did these things came from. Because when I used to sit down and listen to others, I used to get the conviction, but when it's time for me to explain it, I didn't know where it was in the scripture. The person told me I accepted by faith, but now how do I see or taste that the Lord is good in my personal experience? So that's why I had to take what I was given and convicted and continue on by going into the Word of God and say, "Lord, is these things so?" And the thing that is amazing, not only did he confirm what the person told me, but he continued going further to let me understand that I should not eat secondhand food. These are seeds that are planted, but we need to be able to allow that seed to go really deep into the soil and still take the little bit of water and water, which we can do the whole full watering, but just to keep the seed in the heart, that it will not be drawn out by persecution or trials or any situation. We need to, just as we will put a seed in the ground and want that to be able to come up to be a tree, we could look at and kind of observe how the seed is planted correctly and still have the opportunity to go our way. But the Lord is so merciful in the way how he teaches us. He feeds us like children. Because sometimes it becomes so overwhelming just with the thought of these things then being true, but we have to give the time for the truth to materialize and then now come back for harvesting to share what the Lord has given. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And I had to laugh when you mentioned the man that was there mentioned that it's only seven women and a cat. praise God that he was able to see that it wasn't any teacher other than the Word of God. So praise God. And there was also another comment in there saying that whatever individuals tell us, we have to test their words by God's word to see if there's any light in it. And if so, then we accept it, not because the people told us, but because God's word told us. So, amen, amen, because there's nothing wrong in listening to what others tell you is truth. Where it becomes wrong is if we accept it just based on their authority alone. That's where the danger comes in, because we're placing our faith in what someone told us instead of checking it out for ourselves and comparing it with God's word so that we can see that it is truth because God says it is. And that's what the noble Bereans did with what Paul told them about Christ being the Messiah. They didn't just believe him because he spoke with such convicting power. They believed him after they studied the scriptures to see if what he said was true. And we need to do the same. Well, dear ones, it's time for a closing prayer. And if anyone here would like to offer that, please feel free.
I'd like to just sing a little something before I start the prayer. Into my heart, into our heart, come into our heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in, I pray. Come in to our hearts, Lord Jesus. If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, once again, thank you for waking us up this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to be in fellowship with you, dear Father God, I pray. Thank you, dear Father God, for giving us the ability to have the memory to remember where you have brought us from, dear Father God. And may you help us to always hold on to the confidence of the beginning of our faith, dear Father God, that we may not become weary or become doubtful when we are assailed by adversity, dear Father God, but to remember truly, Lord, where you have brought us from, and out of all of the things that we have endured, that we are able to stand here today by your grace and mercy. Thank you for opening up our eyes, our minds, and our hearts, dear Father God, that we may receive wondrous things out of your law. And I pray, Lord, that it may not fall on deaf ears. It may not just help us to stay stagnant, but for us to run and shout and scream what we have learned according to your perfect will to others, that we may spread the gospel near and far. Even if it's just one thing, dear Father God, help us to just hold on to it, dear Father, and to just share it, dear Father God. Thank you for the lessons that was brought out today.
from the children's study to the young adult study. And I pray that you continue to mold our heart soil to receive the words, the lessons that we will receive in the lessons going forward, dear Father God. Please bless each and every one of us that are here once again. For those that are listening over the phone, for those that will listen at a later time, and for those brethren that are not here, wherever they are, dear Father God, I pray once again that you send your Holy Spirit to be among them and that they are in harmony with your Sabbath day today, dear Father God. Thank you for the many blessings that you have brought in our life, and thank you for the many lessons that we have learned. Thank you for helping us to understand that the devil is a defeated foe, dear Father, and that if we trust in you, that there's nothing that we cannot accomplish, dear Father. Thank you for strengthening us. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen our faiths, dear Father, and for us to hold fast till you come. Thank you for all that you have done and for all that you will continue to do. In no other name than Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen indeed. Amen. This verse of scripture comes to mind. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge, not man. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. And he will save us, not man. So praise God for his word of truth and praise the Godhead for being willing to live within us that we might indeed become saved. Well, let's go ahead and take about a 7-minute break and return at 20 after 11 Pacific Coast or 20 after 2 East Coast. And so we'll see you in just a few minutes.
And the Rob, could you give us the scripture again?
You're welcome, dear sister. Yeah, it's Isaiah 33:22. And that's a scripture song that also has verses 16 and 17 connected with it. And let me sing it for you. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Isaiah 33:16, 17, and 22.